This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And we've got a very special guest on right off the bat today. We're going to talk with the head coach of Michigan State's baseball team, Jake Boss Jr. And Jake is going to be telling us about what the Spartans are going to be doing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Jake, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Okay, good to have you on with us. You've made the NCAA tournament. I know that's been a goal for the team. And from everything I heard and read, you guys were really excited about making the tournament. Did you think you would make it even after you were eliminated from the Big Ten tournament?
Well, to be honest with you, Earl, we weren't sure. You know, we thought we deserved the bid, and we felt confident that we could represent Michigan State well in the Big Ten, well in the tournament, but you know, when you leave it in the hands of the committee, you never quite know what's going to happen. And so we're very fortunate that they read our resume and thought that we were capable of performing well in this tournament, and we're excited to be a part of it.
Yes, you had a very good resume. I mean, you played a lot of the top teams early in the year, so that had to help you, and you defeated Baylor and beat some of those early teams. How much do you figure that factored into your getting the selection?
Well, I don't think there's any question that was a big part of why we were selected. And, it was, to our kids' credit, and they stepped up to the challenge, and we played a difficult schedule, and we're rewarded for it at the end of the year.
Yes, and of course, you and Purdue, the only teams out of the Big Ten, that really helps the conference, too, that we've got two teams in. It's been a long time since the Big Ten has had two teams in the tournament.
It does. It really does help the conference, Earl. It's been a few years, and I think in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Big Ten had three teams in, but we've had one team ever since. And so it's good to get multiple teams in, and hopefully that continues for our conference.
Yes. Now, have you had a chance to look at much film on Pepperdine, and what do you see in them?
Well, we're just trying to gather a lot of information now, and, you know, we'll take a look at a lot of that stuff on the flight out there. But, from what we gather from Pepperdine and their numbers, they really throw it well. They pitch well. They play good defense. And, you know, it looks like they, you know, play a little bit of small ball and a lot of sacrifice bunts, a lot of sacrifice flies. And, just try to, you know, looks like go station to station. They don't hit, too many home runs. And so, you know, it's probably a team that is going to force you to execute, and we're going to have to do that if we want to win.
Yes, and your execution, you've lost a lot of games leaving runners on base. I know timely hitting is always key. It looks like you had a little problem in some games getting those key hits.
Well, we have, it's part of the – it's really been a thing that's kind of, hampering us all year. But at the same time, we've got another chance to go out and compete and play. And, we've had a good couple practices this week and really try to break things down to their simplest form, I think, offensively. And hopefully that'll help us as we move forward.
Did anything catch you off guard or maybe even surprise you about your team this year? I know you had a veteran team, mostly people returning. How do you think, what areas do you think you really got better at that maybe surprised you a little bit?
Well, I think, we expected to play a lot of freshmen, and those guys, continue to get better and better as the year, continue to progress. And so, the emergence of guys like Tony Checkey and Ryan Krill and Jimmy Pickens and Blaise Salter, Mick Van Vossen even, it's been really fun to watch. And those guys have all thrown and played really well for us. And, it's been neat to see them continue to get better and better as the year has progressed.
Yes, that pitching, of course, that's the key, and especially in the sport of baseball. I mean, you really have to have good pitching. I know the hitting comes along, but, boy, if you don't have good pitching, you're not going to go far, are you?
No, it's very true. You know, we feel like we're deeper on the mound than we have been in the last 3-4 years, and that certainly contributed to a lot of our success.
Yes, and you're hitting, and your team, your players are starting to hit better, and the fielding, the defense has been pretty good as well.
Yeah, you know, collectively as a group, I think all year we played well defensively. We struggled a little bit maybe last week in the Big Ten tournament, but you know, our shortstop is as good as there is, in my opinion, defensively, and Justin Scanlon and Ryan Jones is our second baseman, who's outstanding as well, you know, defensively. And so, you know, with those guys up the middle, you always have a chance.
Yes. Now, have you heard of any changes coming along for the Big Ten or from the NCAA on might changing, doing anything with the baseball, how every league schedules their teams and how they get ready for the NCAA tournament?
Well, there's been some talk about it, but that's really all it is right now, is just kind of conjecture. And, you know, not quite sure what's down the horizon, whether we move to a fall model or, you know, play some games in the summer, or, you know, there's a lot that could happen, but nothing in the immediate future.
Okay. Now, for your team going out there, playing three teams or a couple of teams, I mean, you don't know them. Do you know any of the other teams in the bracket, or are you just going to be, it's going to be a new ground for you?
Well, you know, we have not played Stanford, we've not played Fresno, and those are the other two teams in our bracket. And so, you know, we'll play the, you know, the winner or loser of that game, depending on what we do. And so, yeah, we haven't played those guys. We have not played Pepperdine. And, you know, we're working on scouting reports and things like that. But I think our guys are used to doing, you know, doing things like that. We go travel early in the year, and we play a lot of unfamiliar teams, and it's really just about playing good baseball.
Yes, and traveling out to the West Coast now at this time of year, how do you go about to make sure that it doesn't affect you? I know you don't want the team to be affected or maybe jet lag or something like that. So are you doing anything to prepare for making this the trip to the West Coast?
Well, we're leaving here in about 45 minutes, and we'll go down to Detroit and fly out there. And, we've instructed our guys to make sure they drink a lot of fluids and try to keep from getting dehydrated. And, you know, we'll get out there, get a good night's sleep tonight and practice tomorrow and just kind of lay low and get ourselves ready to play on Friday.
Okay. So, you get a little bit, you get used to the time and the change by getting out there a day early. So that's got to help for sure, because, you know, a lot of the guys, they've gotten used to the Eastern Standard Time. So that'll give them a chance to get used to the Western, to the time out West.
Yeah, it'll give us a chance to get used to the, to get used to the time change. And the weather, I think, is going to be similar to what we have right now here. So it's not going to be overly hot. It should be, fairly cool, and, it should be an easy transition.
Yes, and the guys, they've gotten used to playing in this kind of weather, so that part should be okay. I mean, you know, you're not going to go from playing a lot of day games to in the evening or anything. So you're going to be playing at a time where we're used to be playing, so that helps, should help somewhat, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should help. You know, I think at the end of the day, I think it's just about playing playing solid baseball and kind of controlling what we can control.
Yes. Now, have you been looking at the Tigers much this year, or trying maybe to get some tips from them, or seeing how they do things?
Well, you know, we had a chance to go down and watch the Tigers play once down in Comerica Park this year. And, I really, haven't seen much. I think that, they're an awfully talented group. And I know they were a third of the way done with their season. But, I would still expect them to kind of catch fire and get hot here at the, at the right time. It's too talented a group not to.
Yeah. Now, for your guys, and their season is over now, and they look at the majors, they see they're just a little bit more past a quarter of a season. Does that surprise them or stun them that, man, if I get to this level, I'm going to be doing a whole lot more playing if some of them should get to the major league level?
Yeah, well, it's a grind, and it's something that when it's your job, you have to do it every day. And, there are not many days off, and it's something that you really need to love to play, and you got to take care of your body. You need to make sure that you stay in shape and eat the right way and do the right things in the weight room so you don't break down and don't get hurt. And so it's definitely a challenge for them. There's no question.
Yeah. Now, how do they deal with it at this level, dealing in college, just, because they're sort of starting out at this level of starting to get in shape, improve their body, improve their conditioning. How do you think they're handling all of that?
Yeah, well, most guys are handling it pretty well, we've got excellent, athletic training staff here and excellent strength and conditioning staff that that do a great job in helping those guys from the transition to high school to college.
Now, what about you guys hitting-wise? As you say, you know that you've had some problems hitting. What are you doing? I mean, you can talk to them till you're blue in the face, but, you know, what can you do? Can you do anything to help them to get more hits in clutch situations, or is that just one of those things?
Well, I think, you know, it's just something that from a mental approach, we need to just kind of maybe back off a little bit and just, you know, concentrate on hitting ball hard and not so much a results-oriented but more of a process-oriented approach, and that we're concentrating on having a good at-bat and doing the right things and let the rest of it take care of itself.
Yeah, now, how do you handle the pitching staff? You've had all this time off now, so how will you approach the pitching staff?
Well, we're on regular rest. You know, our guys are, you know, our starters usually go once a week. And so we're on regular rest right now. And then, you know, our relievers threw some to live hitters yesterday and got a little bit of work in. And you know, we should be full go by Friday.
Okay, sounds good, Jake. And, yeah, I wish you the best of luck. I mean, I was so glad to hear that you got in, because like I told you, I'd seen one of those projections over a month and a half ago that saying that you were getting in. I didn't know, like everyone else, we didn't know if you would make it, but at least they had you in at that time. So, you know, congratulations to Michigan State in getting in. And you brought baseball back and made it relevant here during the spring.
Well, Earl, I appreciate that, and you know, we've got good kids, and we, you know, they're good players, obviously, but they're even better kids off the field, and you know, they deserve all the credit for bringing the program back to where it was 33 years ago, and I'm proud of them, and it's neat to get a chance to experience this stuff with them.
Okay, hey, now you can talk. You already signed Allman, right? From the Holt kit pitcher.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Justin signed a letter of intent in the fall.
Yes, because he's really good. I had a chance to see him out there in the Diamond Classic last weekend. Boy, he's impressive. I mean, he's a guy who can throw a curve almost in any spot. I mean, in any spot in the count, whether he's up by two strikes or he's down 0-2, he has no problem. He's got a great curveball. He's going to be a good pitcher. Hopefully, he doesn't go too high in the draft, because that might change his mind.
Well, he's a talented young man. You're right. And, yeah. He may have some opportunities to play some pro ball, but we'll see how that all shakes out with him. He's got an awful lot of opportunities ahead of him, and he'll probably have a decision to make. But whatever he does is going to be best for him and his family.
Yes, that's for sure. And hey, congratulations to you once again, Jake. Because you've done a great job. You had a great year for the Spartans. I know they didn't end the way they wanted to, but hey, you got the one you wanted, really, is getting into the NC2A tournament. So once again, congratulations and best of luck.
Thank you very much, Earl. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Jake. And we'll talk to you when you get back.
Okay.
Okay. Bye bye. And that's Jake Boss Jr., the head coach of Michigan State Baseball, right here on AM 870 WKAR. And stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Mitt Romney looks to the Lone Star State to push him over the top. Republicans rally a week before the recall in Wisconsin, and after five terms in Congress, Thad McCotter can't gather enough signatures to get on the primary ballot in Michigan. He'll run as a write-in. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us, plus travel writer Andy Isaacson, me and my RV. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Windy and mostly sunny today, some isolated showers and a high in the mid-60s. Tonight, the low 41 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, partly sunny and maybe afternoon rain. Thursday's high 62. Cloudy on Friday, and rain is likely, with a high in the low 60s expected. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, you know, tonight's the night. The Stanley Cup Finals are tonight. And it should be a good one. I mean, if we had told you at the beginning of the NHL playoffs that New Jersey and Los Angeles would be in the finals, of course, no one would have believed it. You wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have believed it. None of us would have believed it. But here they are, New Jersey, basically two six seeds, made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. It hasn't been both teams coming from lower reigns and getting into the Stanley Cup Finals. But that's the thing about hockey. You can see that in the beauty. That's one of the beauties of the sports, that any team can make it. And Scott, it's really an amazing story. Both teams, the six seeds, getting into the finals of the Stanley Cup.
You know, you said you wouldn't have believed it. I still don't really believe it.
Yeah. I don't either, but it's with us.
Here it is.
Yep.
And it's been a long time coming. It seems like it's been forever since there's been a hockey game on TV.
Yes, it does. It does seem like it's been a long, because usually the NBA and the NHL playoffs are pretty close together, side by side. But boy, this is one of those years where, you had the whole season, and the NBA had that contracted season. It's been a little bit different this year, but
a little bit different. And on top of that, the NHL games seems like just about every single one of them's going overtime too.
Yes. There's been some great, when we had hockey, it's been very good, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So now, how do you see this series between New Jersey and LA?
Well, considering that I figured the Kings would be one and done in the first round,
mm-hmm. you're getting a chance to change your vote here.
Getting just a chance, a bit of a chance. Boy, they are on a roll, unbelievable roll for the Kings. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you mentioned the Devils at 60. The Kings were the last team out of their conference to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the eighth seed, and they knock off Vancouver. It's just unbelievable the run they've been on. So I wouldn't put any money against them unless it was house money. That's for sure.
Yes, because it should be a great games that we see in this playoff, and it could go seven. It might go four. You know, it's one of these. We just have no idea how it's going to play out.
Well, the thing is, with the way that Martin Brodeur has started to come on, certainly against the Rangers. I mean, they were a game or two down in the last round, and then boy, he just you couldn't get anything past him. And Henrik Lundqvist is certainly no slouch in goal, and still the Devils took care of him. I do think the Rangers were playing a little bit tired. That will not be the case, obviously, with the Kings. You wonder about them and whether they'll be rusty because they wrapped up their last series in just five games, and it's been so long since they've played. But it's been a long time since the Devils have played,
yes,
too. With waiting to start this thing tonight. Both teams have been off a while, so if anything, both teams might have to shake off a little bit of rust. But these guys, there's not a whole lot of it there.
Yes, it should be a great series. Hey, are there any former Spartans on either team or in their systems?
Not on either of the teams, although there is a local tie. Matt Green, who grew up in Grand Ledge, and he went to North Dakota and played collegiately at North Dakota, but he is one of the defensive stars for the Kings. So there is a local tie there. I saw one tweet this morning. Somebody said, it'd be nice to have the Stanley Cup visit Grand Ledge, Michigan, which would be awesome. So if there's a rooting interest there, I would say Mid-Michigan might be siding with the Kings.
Oh, okay, and yes, it's been a great season, and we've seen some great games and some great playoff games. Like you say, a lot of them have gone into overtime. But boy, the hockey, the thing in hockey though, if you get your goalie gets hot, he can carry you a long, long way.
Oh boy, it sure has, and it has carried both of these teams. I mean, you expect that out of Brodeur. Because he's been so good for so long. You didn't maybe expect it out of Jonathan Quick. It's kind of nice to see a kid come out of the college ranks and heat up like that for the Kings. I mean, that throws a little more focus back on the college ranks and the advantages to going to college and going that route rather than major junior. But the goalie certainly is the heartbeat of the team, And if that heart's skipping a beat, you're in trouble.
Yes, and you know, we've watched this and followed this for a long, long time, Scott, and it's helped college hockey as well. But you know, when you have players get to the Stanley Cup Finals that have gone through the college system, it really does look good for colleges, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, we had that get together, the media got together with the hockey coaching staff over at in the Varsity S Club room at the football stadium, and I was talking with Kelly Miller about it a little bit yesterday. I said, you know, when you look at it, you know, 300-some players in the NHL this year, and that's out of about a total of around 800, have come through the college ranks. So, you know, that's a pretty good message that's being sent right there. That, you know, it used to be, certainly back when Kelly was in school, that, you know, the odds were stacked against you making the NHL if you were a college player.
That's true.
It was only the cream of the crop that would go through college and then get onto the NHL. So, you know, you look at it that way, and I really love one of the things that Mike Emmerich does when he's calling the games. I mean, I love everything Mike Emmerich does when he calls the games. But the fact that if somebody played in college, like when Pittsburgh was in the finals, Brooks Orpik would do something, and he'd talk about the fact that, you know, the Boston College product. Or I'm sure he'll mention Jonathan Quick being from UMass. You know, he really focuses in on the kids that played college hockey, that are playing in the NHL games that he covers. And, you know, that just helps out college hockey all the more.
Oh, for sure. Let's talk about the line. When you look at the lineups, do you give either team, do you give them an advantage, or is it basically even split between the teams?
Yeah, when you get to this point in the Stanley Cup Final, I mean, you know, you got to figure that these teams are so evenly matched. I mean, in goal, Brodeur's the wily veteran, but Jonathan Quick's just been absolutely on fire through the whole playoffs this year. So, you know, is there an advantage one way or the other? I think that's almost a wash there. The Kings have just made mincemeat of the Western Conference through the first three rounds. So, you know, defensively, you know, I think these teams are pretty even. The only real advantage is that the series will begin and end in Newark. And, you know, that's, you know, plays into the Devils. Although the Kings have been good on the road.
It's going to make it a great series. Well, we got a caller for you. We got Kirk calling in from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing?
All right. Hey, the hometown of Matt Green.
I'm not sure where they'd have that Stanley Cup at. Maybe at the high school or the opera house or something. I don't know. That'd be interesting.
Well, he's got to win four before he can get it there, but
that's true. Well, Scott, I just heard you say something about 300 out of 800 players have come out of the college ranks.
I think that's the number I heard, yeah.
And is that across all the professional ranks, or is that not just the NHL, is it?
I believe that is NHL. Those are, I believe. Now, don't quote me on it, but it seemed to me that I saw a tweet somewhere that 300 NHL players had played in college this year.
It just seems like there's not 800 NHL players, is what I'm saying, because there's, I don't know how many teams.
Well,
30 teams?
30 teams and 20-something?
All these guys, you know, there's, 26, 30 per squad.
Yeah.
Guys
okay,
going up
yeah.
and down and and all that. There's a lot of guys that play over the course of a season.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, now here's another thing to think about. If you have 300 out of 800 coming from the college ranks, and the point you're trying to make is that going through the college ranks is very close to going the juniors and minors way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got 300 coming from the college ranks. How many of those 800 are coming from Europe? I dare say it's over 100 easily. So your ratio there of, you know, college versus juniors, God, it's got to be at least even, if not better, for college.
Well, and, you know, that was one of the things that we talked about yesterday at that meeting was, you know, the fact that there's so many kids coming from college, but yet there are so many other kids that are on the fence and wind up choosing major junior over college. And a lot of that is because major junior, and Kelly Miller mentioned this yesterday, the fact that they don't have to play by the same rules.
That's,
you know, as
right.
far as contact with the players, you know, there are downtimes, there's limits to how many times a college coach or assistant coach can contact a player in a given week, and these major junior teams don't have to follow any of that.
Right. Yeah,
so,
they can.
I mean, there's a real disadvantage there for the college teams, and that's one of the things that the college game keeps working with the NCAA on, is the fact that, you know, their hands are kind of strung in a way that nobody else has. You know, football doesn't have that issue. Baseball, basketball, none of them have that issue.
Well, but to me, in some ways, baseball and hockey are very similar in terms of, you know, players being able to be drafted, but yet still go to college.
You get drafted when you're 18, yeah.
Right, and stuff like that. But, yeah, football and basketball, it's a different kettle of fish all the way around.
Yeah,
so. Exactly.
But, yeah, it's amazing when you sit there and watch it, and, you know, having done Michigan State hockey for 15 years now, I'll sit there and watch hockey games. My family gets upset with me because – they'll mention a player, and I'll say, "Oh yeah, former Boston College player," and just keep naming them off throughout the game.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Scott. Thanks, Earl.
Okay, all right, thank you. Thanks, Kirk. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Well, we know that their draft will be coming up very soon. Do you think many of the Spartans have a chance of being drafted high when the draft comes around?
I really have not gotten into all the draft picks and the kids that are coming in and where they might go. I do know that one of the things that was mentioned yesterday at the little media session is that the coaches are finding another level of player is willing to talk with them now. And so and the coaching staff, it's like Tom Anastas said yesterday, you got to take kind of a baseball mentality into recruiting, in that, you know, you got to swing at a lot of pitches. You got to go up there and take your shot with a lot of players and try to get them signed to come to Michigan State, especially this year when they're going to bring in 11 or 12 new guys this year. So I'm not sure who all is going to be drafted, and I know that usually is one of the things that people will point to. This team has 5 draft picks. This team has 10 draft picks. Minnesota, Michigan always have a lot of draft picks on their team. But, and that certainly is will tell a lot of the tale as far as the talent level you have. But you can do an awful lot with chemistry and coaching, and we saw that last year.
Yeah. Now, when you talked with Tom yesterday, did they talk of much about the new arena or how it's going to be renovated?
Well, I think that he still is. He has said publicly, and I believe this, that it really, it's whatever the decision is going to be fine, because the plans that they have for renovation of Munn Arena are wonderful. And it really, from a fan's point of view, from sitting in the bowl watching a game, they're in a bad seat in the house, and Tom Campbell has done a fantastic job of keeping that arena in pristine condition as far as the seating bowl and the game day experience for the fans. Where Munn Arena lacks behind some of the other teams, certainly in the oncoming Big Ten hockey conference, is the area that the fans can't see, the area underneath where the team locker rooms are, and certainly the visitor side, the visitors' locker rooms are really lacking behind. And so, those are some of the things that are going to be, accounted for with a renovation if they do choose to renovate Munn Ice Arena, and certainly if they do go the new construction route. The problem with the new construction is that, you know, you are looking at, you know, $30, $40, $50 million that you have to have. And with the fact that, you know, Michigan State's athletic department, as most are, is, you know, they make their own money and they only spend what they can take in. They don't get anything from general fund. You know, you've got to have that money in hand, or you've got to have a good portion of it in hand before you can go ahead and say, okay, we're gonna break ground and build a whole new hockey arena. They're expensive to build, as is just about any facility nowadays. So, you know, without having a donor in hand, it's tough to make that, you know, to pull the trigger on that call. So, but there are advantages not only to having a new hockey arena, but advantages to what that could do for, you know, say the wrestling, volleyball, gymnastics, moving them out of Jennison Fieldhouse into a rebuilt Munn Ice Arena could be wonderful for those programs too. So it's more than just hockey, but, you know, there is a financial reality there that everybody has to keep in mind.
Yeah, yes, they do. That's for sure, because it's always growing. It never decreases. It always gets a little larger.
Isn't that true? Well, you know, and you know, one of the things that's kind of pushing Michigan State forward is the fact that the system that they use to freeze the ice is a Freon based system, and I believe it's by 2015, Freon is illegal. And so they have to replace that.
Yes.
They've got the money set aside to do that. It's just a matter of, are we going to rip up the floor and replace it at Munn Ice Arena? And that is a multi-million dollar expenditure, or are we going to build a whole new arena? And so, you know, that's what's pushing this whole thing forward right now.
Yes, because I got a feeling that, well, the renovation is definitely going to win out, but it's hard to believe that they would build a whole new arena. I mean, yes, it would be nice if they could, but, you know, today's economics might prevent that.
Yeah, it is incredibly expensive. You know, you look at the situation with Penn State, with them developing their hockey program. You know, that has turned out to be a $100 million donation that school's gotten, and that's, you know, funding their scholarships and building their beautiful new ice arena. So, yeah, it's not inexpensive. Even, you know, one of the more recent ones in the CCHA down in Oxford, Ohio, you know, they've got about 2,500, 3,000 seats at the Goggin Ice Arena, or the Steve Cady Arena in the Goggin Ice Center down there. But that building cost more per seat than the Engelstad Arena in Grand Forks, North Dakota, which is the gold standard in college hockey. So, yeah, it's the fixed costs of doing an ice arena make them really expensive to do.
Yes, and I'll tell you, well, we got off a little bit. We you know, I called to talk about the Stanley Cup. We talked about that a little bit.
Well, you know, the college game is the one that's closest
to
my heart.
That's
so
true. I know that.
It always radiates back to that. It always will be.
Yep. That's for sure. Yeah, you know, it's close to my heart, too, but, you know, But you know, the people really like the Stanley Cup final. I mean, it's something about the finals, and when you get this near the season end, Stanley Cup finals are very special. And as we know, a lot of players, a lot of Spartans have went through and made their name in the Stanley Cup finals.
Mm-hmm. If you walk through that little hallway from the Zamboni Tunnel back towards the coach's office, mm-hmm. you can see the pictures of all the different Spartan champions. You got pictures of Spartans raising the Stanley Cup. You got Drew Miller in there. You got Bobby Essenza, who did it as a coach last year with Boston. Not sure there's going to be anybody this year, but there will be great college representation, and it's going to be a fun Stanley Cup final. And I can't wait to get this one started tonight.
Okay. Hey, Scott, it's a pleasure talking with you. Always is a pleasure talking with you, my friend. I'll be talking with you again this summer. Might have you come in and set in for me a few more times.
Well, maybe. I'm always happy to do that, especially during the summer when I've got a little more time.
Okie dokie. We'll talk to you later, Scott.
All right. Thanks, okay. Earl.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Scott Moore, the voice of MSU Hockey, right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
When it comes to the standard test that screens for prostate cancer, a government task force essentially told men they're better off not knowing. Few expect doctors and patients will stop ordering the test, and if it comes up positive, performing maybe unnecessary procedures. I'm Neil Conan. Do you want to know? Plus, the president's autos are on Romney, the bailout, and Bain. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Thank you for joining us today. Today will be mostly sunny and breezy, a chance of some isolated showers, and a high of 66. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 41. Thursday, partly sunny, maybe afternoon rain, the high 62. Friday, the high 61, cloudy with rain likely.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, our next guest is our good friend, Steve Morgan, and we're going to talk a little bit of health and physical fitness today. And Steve, how you doing, my friend?
Man, I'm really enjoying the weather today. I just got through riding to downtown Lansing, and, you know, at the lunch break there, and it was so encouraging to see so many people with their sneakers on, out trying to get some lunchtime activities and moving around, people sitting outside and whatnot. It was actually looking like a healthy city.
Yeah, and that's good. We talk about that all the time. And one thing, Steve, we know a lot. People start making even more excuses during this time of year of trying to weasel out or not doing a workout or not doing anything. And oh, I guess all we can do is continue to encourage them. But we know a lot of people are still making excuses, even though the weather's great and they should be outside doing something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and once again, if you have a spouse, if you have an animal, or if you have a close friend that's always egging you to get out, you really need to take them up on it. Take your spouse out for a walk. Use the river trail. Hawk Island is really a nice place to go with the kids and whatnot. And you're outside. It's a nice environment. There's several activities to do, and all of them require you getting up and getting moving.
Well, that's it. You got that right. I went out over the Memorial Day weekend. I went out on the track and got out on the track and just walked around the track. Hadn't done that in a while, but that felt good because it helps put away some of the, you know, knock off some of the calories from all the food I eat.
Did you have some sweets, Earl?
No, I didn't have any sweets. That was one thing I sort of avoided the sweets this time. Well, I did have one sweet, but yeah, other than that, I avoided it for the most part.
Good, good. Well, I wanted to mention because now we're hitting June tomorrow, I think, or Friday.
Yes.
And the staleness may be setting in for some of those weekend warriors and people that have been doing an activity since March or even earlier than that. And I just wanted to give them some signs and that maybe they're getting stale, and then we'll talk about how to get out of that staleness. But if you show a decrease in your performance level, for example, if you're used to running a mile in 8 minutes and now you can't seem to get any lower than 8:50, if you're having difficulty falling asleep, no matter what you do, if you try to go, you know, to eat before bed and you still can't sleep, if you try not to eat, you can't sleep. If you try protein, you still can't sleep. We got to be taking a look at the staleness or the overtraining of the workouts that you've been doing. Be awakened from sleep with no apparent reason. So just basically an unsteady sleep. If you experience a loss of appetite, no matter how much you work out, you're still not hungry. A loss of weight would, chances are, go along with that. And conversely, you may overheat. Because of taking in the right amount of food and keeping the blood levels and glucose where it should be and trying to be in that steady state of homeostasis despite training. So those are just a few. If anyone's out there listening and you're experiencing some of these chronic symptoms, you may want to back down or change the activity and begin what we call cross training.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you about, what about for people who maybe sleep too much and get too much sleep? What should they do?
If they find out they're just
sleeping too much.
Well, once again, normally that's not the case because people that are overtraining, Earl, they spend, when they have an opportunity to sleep, they'll go train.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like we see anyone that's overtraining that's lazy. Those two don't go. That's an oxymoron. That's like a, you know what I mean? That's a cat with horns. You know what I mean? That's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, we got a caller for you. We got Fred from Saginaw on the line. Fred, how you doing?
Good, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question for Steve. In doing squats, when you take your leg, your thigh parallel to the ground, I find it easier to put a board underneath my heels, a 2x4. Is that good, bad, or indifferent?
That's a common practice in squatting, front squatting, Olympic lifting. You don't normally see it so much in powerlifting, because they wear certain boots and whatnot, it jacks them up a little bit. But in the beginning, it's because of the tightness in the Achilles tendon, and also the tightness in the gastroc and soleus, or the calves. And most people associate that with inflexibility at the knee joint. Really, it's just a tightness of the back of the posterior side of the body that inhibits you from bending down, because then it'll pull on your lower back. So by sticking that heel underneath your heels, what it does is it jacks you up into another position to whereby it's advantageous biomechanically for you to sit down with relative ease. You want to kind of wean your way off of that and work your way to being flat. I wouldn't stay there for too long, and I wouldn't go too heavy while I was there. So, but I'd be trying to wean toward all, if you will, quote unquote, all natural type training with no extrinsic devices.
I don't use any weights. I just wear the weight of my body, so
Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually, I mean, in order for progression to happen, if you don't use weight, then one of the things you could do is just, like I said, work towards getting to where you can just be standing there and bend all the way down, if you will. And once again, it depends on the goals. You know, if the goals are flexibility, then that would be appropriate. If the goal is for strength, then you want to continue to try to add a little bit more weight to the bar.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Hey, Steve. I know we've talked about this from time to time, but when people start working or doing or should be doing more workout, even though we know a lot of times they're doing less, what can you tell folks that now that, okay, let's say they've committed to an exercise program, but they just don't know how to get started or what to do in it, even though they know they want to do something, but they just don't know what to do?
Well, right now, I want to caution people on just jumping outside and getting going.
That's what a lot of people do. That's what I was thinking of.
Right,
yeah.
So when we say take advantage of the day, I really want to reiterate that when we say take advantage of the day, that's moderate movement. If you become continuously short of breath, that's not a good sign. You know, we don't want to get too medical here, but just some obvious signs and symptoms. If you start to get lightheaded, dizzy, then that's too much exercise for what the total amount of calories that you've taken in. It doesn't match what the body's going through in an acute phase of training. So jumping out and going all bent, running to the hill at Waverly and getting 15 passes, because we talk about the hill, is not the best thing to do. And plus, your body probably wouldn't allow you to get to that far, but That's a bit of an overstatement, but I'm just saying doing too much too soon is not a good thing.
Yes, I think that's probably a problem for a lot of people. As you know, I've talked in the past that to many of the people are weekend warriors. You know, we get those people that just get out there, they haven't done anything all year, but they, because it's warm now, they go out and think, oh, they're going to do some, maybe they'll play basketball, or even if they do volleyball or something like that, or badminton.
You get caught up in the weather, Earl, and
yes,
that's what bites you.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have you heard of people on the 4th of July say, oh, we went to the beach, we played volleyball, then we went boating, and then, oh my God, I'm exhausted. Yeah. And you know, and you end up having a level 3 exposure to the sun, you know, to harmful rays, and you end up getting burned on the back of your neck and all down the backside of your shoulder blades. And it's really unnecessary. I mean, that's what you call overdoing it. But it's so fun, you know. I know, but for some people, that fun can turn tragic.
Yes.
And that's why you got to, you know, once again, just bite off a little bit. And, you know, encourage people to participate in these outdoor lawn darts, horseshoes, and things of this nature, while you can sip water and still move around a little bit. For, you know, and once again, you have to know your level of conditioning. I'm just tossing out suggestions so you're not caught in on the couch, you know, just because it's 80 degrees out, you're afraid to go outside and leave the air conditioning.
Yep. Hey, I wanted to talk to you, Stu. Steve, I had an author on yesterday who wrote a book. He's an exercise fitness as well, but he wrote a book called Abby Gets Fit. He's working with his daughter. He helped his daughter who never did anything, and then she started working out, and now she wants to help people. It's good, and that's the thing, you know, we were talking about yesterday is, you know, how do we get people to help their kids, because as you know, we have an epidemic in our country of obesity. But getting people to help their kids to work out and to exercise and trying to get them to do something. So how do we do that, and trying to reach the families or the parents of kids who probably really need to do some kind of workout? We know it would help if the parents would work out, but that's the thing now is we need to find some kind of way to help get the kids doing more exercise, because as you know, a lot of schools don't offer physical fitness anymore.
Well, I understand, and I get where you're going with that, Earl. And the thing is that I just, once again, just make sure that professionals are working with the kids, and I know how people begin to take fitness and just extrapolate that out to kids. Adult fitness and children's fitness are two different levels.
Mm-hmm.
Children have a smaller surface area. They overeat quicker. You know, sure, they have endurance for their body weight, but all the while they're continuing, they're immature little adults, okay? And they don't understand the signs or symptoms that an adult would understand, and they definitely don't have a stop mechanism. So you really have to be careful with kids when you're out there exercising with kids, and I'm sure that's covered in the book. And you know, I hope everybody encouraged them to pick that book up.
Yes,
but dealing with kids and heat is a serious matter, especially when we have so many children in our society that are overweight and obese. And I don't want to sound like we don't want them to exercise. I just want them to do things properly, because if it's introduced properly, then the results are phenomenal. If it's introduced incorrectly, then the child begins to get hurt. They become discouraged. They're actually in worse condition than they were before when they began, because at least when they were sitting on the couch or playing video games, they weren't hurt. And a lot of kids who are non-athletic do not deal well with pain.
Yeah.
So there's a whole host of other things that go along with it, and there's several other publications out there that people can find, I'm sure, to talk, ways, you know, with helping to raise quote unquote tougher kids. And I mean tougher in a sense that they're tougher emotionally, tougher physically, tougher physiologically. And they're able to recover in where they're getting so many bad things in their diet. They're not eating enough in some cases. In other cases, they're eating too much. In other cases, you know, there's too much sugar and not enough of a balance. I mean, it is very complex, the issues of dealing with kids in our society. There is not one just blanket answer for this equation.
Yes, and Steve, one thing I've noticed, I mean, just going out observing, there are so many, especially in the teenage level and maybe a little smaller, of kids working in the fast food joints and the fast food restaurants. They're really probably just taking in too much of what they do, because I just see so many people. Whenever I go into a fast food restaurant that are in the back that are working it, and I don't know if they like that or how it's done, but boy, there's a lot of overweight people in the restaurant industry.
Sure, but. You know, Earl, not to pick on the restaurant industry. I mean, there's just, you go anywhere, there are just a lot of large folks everywhere.
Yes, there are.
And once again, you know, it's a delicate issue in our society to talk about. But, you know, without talking about it and starting dialogue, without people being, you know, so defensive about it, it's not going to get fixed anytime soon.
Yes, because that's the problem.
Really,
yeah. So many people are defensive about it, and you know, we don't want them to be defensive about it, but we want them to do a better job of looking out for their health. I mean, that's what we're trying to doing a little bit, doing what we can to help you to look at your health and look at your body and to do more with that, you know, with all the information. There's a ton of information out there. You know, Steve, it's just like, you know, we still, I mean, I'm still amazed that so many people smoke today. I mean, that's to me, it shocks me. I mean, is all the information out there about smoking and the anti-smoking out there, but yet, and I see, and I'm thinking about so many kids are still smoking. That shocks me. I see so many young people out there smoking.
Earl, tobacco products are on the rise.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked in any convenience store, mm-hmm. when you're going to get gas and stuff,
yep.
they have, you know, multiple. Right? It hasn't been going down. And then there are several smoke shops mm-hmm. in town that are still in business that have just been opened. That means there's a demand.
Yes, that's true. And it sort of shocks me. I mean, why someone would smoke today or even start smoking at a young age. I mean, I can understand the older people. They've been doing it all their lives. But for the young kids out there or teenagers to start smoking today, that always surprises me. And I guess there are a lot of them out there starting today, starting young.
Yes, they are. I mean, that's why they have, you know, those laws in place about selling to minors, because the kids are out there. I mean, I've witnessed it myself. I've seen kids buy, and when I've been purchasing gas, I've seen, and I know they weren't 18, and I've seen them. And it goes on.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that it's going to be difficult to curtail
mm-hmm.
an upswing in usage of all these harmful toxins and products without finding something that takes them away from even wanting or desiring those things. And that's where exercise comes in.
Yeah. And you know, Steve, before I let you go, mm-hmm. I saw another thing that made me aware of all these people that are riding in these hover rounds, these hover chairs. There's so many people that are using these. You know, they should be doing something, but they're just riding in these chairs. You probably see that a lot yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. The scooter store.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Earl, there are people that need those.
Yes.
Either on a temporary basis or because of some type of ailment or chronic disease or accident. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, there are a lot of people who are partaking in the old scooter store activity, and they don't need it. Mm-hmm. They need to get up and start walking. You know, like we said, walking ain't exercise, but it's sure better than nothing.
Yeah, it's a good start. I mean, if you're not doing anything, it's a good way to get started.
Mm-hmm. But I tell you, we're just hanging there. We'll keep talking, and hopefully some people give us a call over here, you know, at MAP, and we can get you started. We're not just for athletes. If you're having problems with your fitness program, if you're jammed up and you don't know what to do and you can't schedule it or you're just not motivated, give us a call at 517-944-5100. Thanks, Earl.
Okay, thank you, Steve. And good talk to you, my friend, and we'll talk again soon, buddy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking a little bit of health and physical fitness today on AM 870 WKAR. And so, Aaron, are you ready to get out and start working out there?
Yeah, I mean, I actually did the other day, which was kind of interesting. I felt great the next day. So just goes to show you a little bit can go a long way.
It can, and we all need to do that a little bit. I got to start doing even more. I've been doing a little bit lately, but I got to start doing more. I got to up my level and my workout level. So that's my goal, is to just make myself do more than what I've been doing. So if you're doing something, that's great. And we want all the people out there just to work out and get yourself in better shape. Hey, thank you all for listening today. Thank you for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons and call us up and talk sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.